first in a series about things we don't know and things we do know. And then I just felt tonight we're supposed to talk about this here. So I'm going to get sidetracked for a week here with the message that's kind of it's a lot of information. So it might get it all done today. We might not. Genesis 1. If you can't find it, just leave your Bible open and act like you found it. Genesis 1. Talking about tonight about the importance of fruit. The importance of fruit. Tim in the Byron box is a bag. Bring that here. It's a got a grocery bag there. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. Fruit is all over the Bible. And just to show you, for example, how important and how often fruit is talked about in the Bible. 243 times directly talked about. Fruit is talked about in the Bible. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And so very early in Genesis, we have Genesis chapter 1, we have fruit. Now go to Revelation 22, the last chapter in the Bible. And Revelation 22. So the Bible opens with fruit. And it ends with fruit. And Revelation 22 and verse 2. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, there was a tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves on the tree were for the healing of the nations. So in heaven, at the end of time, we have fruit again. And a lot in between us all throughout the Bible. Let's pray. We'll talk about the importance of fruit. Lord, I pray you'd give us wisdom here as we study this. And I pray that your spirit would please give us what you have for us tonight. Lord, this is a kind of a different direction, but it's, Lord, I believe of your will. And I pray each one of us would understand these just a couple of principles we'll cover, Lord. Speak to us. May the spirit be in charge. May this be a spirit injected and inspired message that makes an impact by the power of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Bible, we have fruit all over the place. For example, in the Garden of Eden, what causes the fall of mankind and what changes all of history? Fruit. The fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the fruit from it. And so we have fruit making the fall of mankind. Talk about being important. We have fruit in the end of the Bible. And also, if you go to Genesis chapter 3, you can just see verse 6. And the woman saw that the tree was good for fruit, and she ate thereof. But then in verse 22, it says, the Lord God said, behold, now man has become as one of us. This is Genesis 3:22. To know good and evil, now lest he put forth his hand and take the tree of life and eat and live forever. Now there's the fruit that's in heaven now. God put the fruit trees in heaven so we wouldn't get to them because he didn't want us to live forever in our fallen state. So he took the tree of life and put that in heaven. And so that was in the garden, and God had to kick them out of the Garden of Eden so they wouldn't eat the tree of life. And then he decided to just take Eden off earth because men somehow would find a way to mess everything up. And so he took but there's that fruit again. And you see that. And for good and evil, you see two incredibly powerful fruit. The first command in the Bible is be fruitful and multiply. It's the first command in the entire Bible. Let me take you to Deuteronomy chapter 30. A bunch of very important things are talked about as fruit. And of course, we're not going to read 243 different verses, but we'll just showing you a little bit how important fruit is in the Bible. If it's this important, it must be something we should pay attention to. In verse 9, God talks about fruit of different things. This is Deuteronomy 39. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body. The Bible says that children are a fruit. The Bible says in Psalms, it says the fruit of the womb is his reward. So children are fruit, and the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land for good. And the Lord will rejoice over thee for good as he rejoiced over thy father. So children, crops, livestock, they're all called fruit and talked about that. Jesus told many parables about fruit. In just a couple of days, just go to Matthew. We'll show you just several things in Matthew and kind of stay there. So we don't have to go too much around the Bible. But Jesus talked a lot about fruit, and many of his parables were about fruit. And Matthew chapter 21. Just briefly look there at that parable. In verse 33 and 34, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it about and digged in wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husband and went to a far country. When time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandman that he might receive the fruits of it. So this whole parable is going about fruit and receiving the fruits and being rejected as the owner of the one who has the fruits. And then Matthew 13, I'm not going to show you all the parables about fruits, but they're just very common. Jesus talks, the spiritual life is compared many times to fruit. And it'll help you understand the spiritual life if you understand fruit. Matthew 13, in the parable of the sower, and just pick a couple of verses out of it, but verse 22, and he also received the seed among the thorns. Is he that heareth the word? And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word and becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it and also bringeth forth fruit. And bringeth forth some an hundredfold, and some 60, and some 30. So they bring forth fruit. Matthew 21, and you know the story, and these are familiar things, but maybe we didn't put it all together and just see how much he talks about it. And this is Matthew 21, verse 19. And when he saw a fig tree in the way, he came to it and found nothing thereon but leaves only. And he said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. So he's mad because he came to a tree and there was just leaves on it, no fruit. So he says, don't bring forth any fruit, and withered away, and it withered away because it's very important to him. And so fruit obviously is very important. And of course, again, I'm not teaching all the things about fruit, but obviously you see fruit's a big deal in the Bible. And it's going to help you understand a lot of things. And number one, I want to just say, fruit tells a story. Matthew chapter 7. Fruit tells a story. And we're going to look at verse 16 through 20. Matthew 7, verse 16. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Talking about false prophets. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, and every corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits shall ye know them. So fruits are going to tell us a story. They're going to tell, you will know them by their fruits. This is so simple. And I think sometimes you get away from simplicity. And one of the things, we got a society that is so clever. People have so many clever ways of disguising their sin and making them feel good about themselves, where the Bible keeps it real simple. I know I shouldn't be doing this. I know I don't do this. I know I don't do this. I know I do these things, but I'm really a good person. I really mean well. That person, you know what? I know they're doing that, but they're really a good person. By your fruits, you know them. An evil tree brings forth evil fruit. Wherefore, by their fruits shall you know them. A good tree brings forth good fruit. Fruit's so important that when they went in the promised land, the land of Canaan, God said, when you go in, you can, you know, destroy everything and just, you know, go in and destroy the land and destroy the people and everything, but do not destroy the fruit trees. He says, you can destroy the other trees, but don't cut the fruit trees down. Fruit's important. It tells a big story. And so you learn a lot by that. We can complain. We can claim sincerity, and we can have claims of who we are or claims of what we do. We can talk about our desire, what we intend, or anything else. But by your fruits, you are known, God says. By the fruits that come forth in your life. Look at John chapter 15. John chapter 15, the importance of fruit. Jesus again explains the spiritual relationship with him and the spiritual life with fruit. John 15, I am the verse 1 through 5, I am the vine and my true vine, and my Father is a husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I in the vine, ye the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. There is fruit, or more fruit. You know that if it doesn't bring forth fruit, it's not abiding in the vine. If it brings forth fruit, if it's abiding in the vine, it brings forth fruit, and then it's pruned, so it can bring forth more fruit. And so he goes from, in this chapter, he goes from fruit to more fruit to much fruit later in the chapter, because God's very interested in fruit. And so you can just tell the tree by what comes out of it. And humans, you tell what they are by what comes out of them and what they do. And the fruit that comes out in your life. And really the passage we're going to focus on is a little bit later. So, let's take an educated guess. All right, ready? What kind of tree do you think this came from? Oh, you're so smart. Are you sure it's not an oak tree? Are you sure it's not a blueberry tree? Are you sure it's not an apple tree? Sure. What if the tree said, no, I'm really sincerely an apple tree. I really am. I know, but you know what? I'm an apple tree. Is it an apple tree? You know it by its fruit. Oh boy, you're one for one here. Okay, ready? Okay, ready? See if you know what tree this came from. Ready? Apple. Okay. Do you know that it's an apple tree? Are you positive? You're sure? No, wait a minute. What if it says it's not? First of all, it'd be weird if a tree talked to you. You in Seattle, people are, you know, mind me a bit. But it, you know, I can take the sticker off. What if the sticker on it said navel orange? Would it be an apple tree?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know absolutely by its fruit. Okay? Fruit in the Bible is what comes out of you. It's your actions. It's what is evidence in you. All right, ready? See if we can go 3 for 3. This one's harder. Ready? What's... You sure? Okay. It's a pear tree. Why? Because the fruit shows what it is, right? Doesn't matter what it intends, doesn't matter what it says, doesn't matter what it claims, doesn't matter what it names itself. What if it says it's an apple? It's not an apple. Doesn't matter what it calls itself. It's still the same thing. You can call yourself a Christian, but if your fruit doesn't show it, amen. You are what you do. And that reveals what you are. And so, apparently, this is a pear from a tree. And so, that was funny. And so we see all these things. They are revealed for what they are. It shows, and fruit comes out. And you see that. Now, let me take you to Galatians 5, and really the passage I want to focus on. Let's see, Galatians 5. And let's focus on this passage, because we want to talk about fruit tells a story. So, it's going to give a list of what comes to fruit of the flesh. It's going to give a list of the fruit of the Spirit. And you can know if you're walking in the Spirit or walking in the flesh by what it says. No, I do those things, but I'm spiritual. Okay, you're an apple and you're saying, I'm not. You produce an apple and you're saying, I'm not an apple tree. That's what you're doing. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are these, and that's works are your fruits. And we'll see that because verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is these. The works of the flesh are these, which are manifest. It comes out. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. All four of those, put them together, any sexual immorality. Idolatry, witchcraft. I love to preach on the word witchcraft. The word witchcraft is pharmacia in the Greek. And it's talking about drugs. And hatred. Do you hate people? Variance. These mean intense strife overly contentious, emulations, which means jealousies that are so strong your anger all the time, wrath, strife. You put those ones together. Hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife. You're contentious and have fights with people all the time. That's the flesh. Seditions, which means divisions, heresies, envyings, murderers, drunkenness. I love that. I know I'm good right now, but I really love Jesus with all my heart. Yeah, I love that when they say that. Don't tell anybody to know anything about Jesus when you're drunk. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, to be filled with the Spirit. Drunkenness is the work of the flesh. Comes out that you're in the flesh, not in the Spirit. Drunkenness, revelings, that's partying and such like. Other which I tell you in time past, as I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. God's unconditional love. You have this love flowing out of you. Hereby, John 13, shall all men know that ye are my disciples and that ye have love one for another. You are defined by love. You have love. If you look at an orange tree, you see those oranges all over it. Just like that, people look at you and they say love all over you. Joy. Peace. This is the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. You can suffer long and handle it just fine. Gentleness, goodness, faith. You trust God and act on that faith, on that trust. Meekness, temperance, under control. Against such there is no law. So, I'm going to say a second thing. First, we said the fruit tells a story, but number two, change your fruit. All right, you ready? A couple statements here are going to really be the center of this whole message, and they're kind of simple here. Decide what fruit you want later, and do the actions now to produce that fruit. Okay, it's very important. Don't decide, and this is the most important thing I'll say, and we'll get back to it. Don't decide what you. Do not decide what you like planting. Decide what you like eating later. It's very important. So, Farmer Jones given the land, and he said, "You know what? We're going to give you this land. You just got to plant crops on it. And so you can't let the land go idle. And we'll give you this land. You can live in the farmhouse. You can have the barn. And you can plant your crops. You can use this. It's yours to use. But you have to plant a crop." Well, they go out there, and Farmer Jones and his family, they go out. Now he's a farmer. He wasn't before. And he plants this massive crop of zucchinis and jalapeno peppers. And man, he plants all those out there and spends his time in the spring. And he gets the plows of the field, plants the things, and there he plants them. However many months later, they grow up, and there's this massive fields of all, you know, zucchini goes. Run, neighbors. And there it all is, and he grows all that, and it's growing everywhere and all over the place. And it's time to pick them, and they're not doing anything. Neighbors go by and said, "Hey, you got a lot of fruit out there. You got a lot of crops. Why don't you go pick them?" "Oh, we hate zucchini, and we hate jalapenos. Hot, nasty, big, ugly fruit. Oh, I hate that stuff." "Why did you plant it?" "Oh, have you ever planted zucchini? It is so fun to plant. You go out there and you put the seed in and it just grows like crazy and the seeds smell good and they're so cute little seeds and you put them in the ground. It's so much fun. What are you going to eat this year?" "I don't know." "Well, maybe he'll give me food." "No, the owner said you're going to eat what you planted. You tell me I have to eat zucchini and jalapenos for the whole winter?" "Yeah." "Well, I just like planting them. It was fun to plant them. I don't want to eat them." "That's what you get. That's what you're eating." "Well, I would have planted a harder crop if I'd have known it was going to be like this. I would have planted something that is tastes better in the end. I'd have planted something yummy." "But you didn't, huh?" And so now all of a sudden, guess what? You don't decide what you want in life by what's fun to do. You decide things in life by what they produce. Because the principle of fruit is very powerful. Be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. They that sow to the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. They that sow to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. You shall reap it. Don't expect to plant bad crops and get good crops. Na 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 na. I planted corn and I'm going to get green beans because I want to. That's nice. But guess what? You're going to be surprised when those green beans start getting ears sticking out of them. And they get real tall and skinny. And they turn yellow. You're going to be really surprised. Because whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. And so you've got to decide that. That's interesting. If it says, you know, you can sow to the Spirit and you can reap the spiritual things. We're in chapter 5, but look at chapter 6. Verse 7, God is not mocked whatsoever man soweth. Verse 8, he that soweth the flesh shall the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth the Spirit. So you want to sow spiritual seeds to the Holy Spirit and do those things. How do you do that? Well, there's some ways here. We'll just give you real quickly. I'm not going to give you all of them, but we just saw one. Verse 25, you're sown to the Spirit. Verse 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. First of all, you walk in the Spirit. The word walk in the Greek is stakeho. You walk in the Spirit. It means to march in step. It's a military term. They march together. And the Spirit says, do this. And you march just like he says. You walk in the Spirit. You walk, you follow his leadership. You walk in what he says. And you just march step in step with the Holy Spirit. You're full of Spirit. He's guiding your life. And you receive great blessings. And you get love and joy and peace and long-suffering. And you get life everlasting. All these blessings because you go and sow to the Spirit. So some things. How do you plant right? How do you sow to the Spirit? It's real simple. You walk in the Spirit, you abide in Christ. John 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you same bringing forth much fruit. Abiding means remaining consistently in Christ. I want to say, people who do not stay serving God do not really get the fruit. It's abiding, remaining in Christ. It's years in God's will and not serving God for 3 months and going backsliding, then serving God for 6 months and going away from God, then serving God for a month ago. It's a life, and it's abiding, remaining in Christ. And as you can't take a, you cannot take a branch and plug it into a tree and then pull it out again and plug it back in and pull it out and plug again. It's not gonna live and grow. I have trees in my orchard that have multiple branches on them from different trees. And they'll grow as long as I leave that branch stuck and grafted into the tree. It'll be just fine. You've got to stay in Christ. So you abide in Christ and you bring forth fruit. You be intimate with the Lord. I mean, sorry, Romans 7. This is a little different passage than where we are, but Romans 7. You want to bring forth fruit. Fruit is like children and spiritual fruit. And it's being intimate with the Lord, close to God, as the bride of Christ. Romans 7 and verse 4 and 5. Romans 7 verse 4 and 5. You be intimate and very close to God. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, ye also become dead to the law by the body of Christ, ye should be married to another. Even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we're in the flesh, the motions of sins, which are by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death. He says, you get close to God. It's like a husband and a wife. They are close and intimate, and they bring forth fruit of a child. Yet that's the way God illustrates being close to him. Very close, very intimate. You're the bride of Christ. And so you get very close to Christ, and you bring forth fruit. It's not a distant religious thing. It's a close personal thing. And you do that. Next, let me take you to Proverbs, and I'll spend a little time in Proverbs now. Kind of work this so we'd kind of be in the same spot, so you wouldn't, because we're using a lot of scripture, where I don't want you to have to keep turning all around everywhere. Gain wisdom and live wisely, and you get a lot of good fruit. Wisdom brings forth great fruit in our lives. If you get wisdom and you live wisely. And Romans chapter 8, And I'm not going to give you everything to bring forth fruit, but wisdom is an important one. Proverbs. Look at one thing and say another. Proverbs 8 and verse 19. My fruit, wisdom speaking in verse 1. The wisdom cries, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Wisdom speaking. And verse 19. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. So wisdom brings forth fruit. Wise mind, wise decisions, wise thought, and wise actions. See, wisdom is not just knowing what is right to do. Biblically, actually, a fool has knowledge of what to do. But he's not wise because he doesn't do what he knows to do, and he's called a fool. A simple person is in the Bible is someone who doesn't have the wisdom. A wise man is someone who has the wisdom and does it. You're actually a fool. A fool has more knowledge than a simple person. But they're in much more trouble because they do not do what is wise to do. Then the Bible calls you a fool if you have that wisdom. So wisdom is knowing what is right to do and doing it. And so you see that. If you have the wisdom from God, you get satisfied later on. If you live wisely and get the fruit from wisdom. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 12. And we're going to do 12 through 14. The wicked desireth the net of evil men, but the root of the righteous yieldeth fruit. The wicked is snared by the transgression of his lips, but the just shall come out of trouble. A man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Can I ask you, does your mouth, the fruit that comes from it, is it satisfying? Do you say, I really helped? I really blessed that person with my mouth. Or do you say, my stupid mouth has got me. The Bible says you're satisfied by the fruit of your mouth if you're wise. Its fruit is satisfaction because I want to say, I've been on both sides of that thing. I've been where I can say, can I sew this thing shut and fix this thing? And other times I've been like, wow. That was pretty profound and pretty impactful. And let me tell you, it's very satisfying, and the fruit of your mouth is good. It wins souls. It makes a big difference. It impacts lives. Makes people feel loved in many things. So wisdom, look at the verse 14 again. A man shall be satisfied by the fruit of his mouth. And then chapter 13, verse 2. A man shall eat good by the fruit of his mouth. But the soul of the transgressor shall eat violence. Proverbs chapter 18. Verse 20. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and the increase of his lips he shall be filled. Again, same thing. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. And then let me take you to Isaiah chapter 3. So you see that you'll be satisfied, it says, from the fruit that you get it from wisdom. And you're satisfied later on. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 10. Say ye to the righteous, it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. They shall eat the fruit of their doings. I love fruit trees. One reason is I don't have to weed them as much. And so I like fruit trees. So I have, I planted 6 more fruit trees this last year. I think I had 13 before, so just short of 20 fruit trees in our yard. And so I got those trees. Charlie, we got 2 fig trees from them this last year and planted them. And you know what? Most of my trees aren't bringing forth fruit yet. They're starting to. Some of them are. And the birds, I'm glad I'm growing those for the birds. Those trees, wait a minute. Oh, see, you didn't get anything. The satisfaction or the dissatisfaction with fruit comes later. I don't know of a fruit tree that grows fruit the first year. There probably is one somewhere, but Most fruit trees, they say your fourth year, your fifth year, your sixth year, somewhere in there, depending on the fruit tree, you'll start getting some fruit. And really, to be a mature tree that's bringing forth fruit, you know, 7, 8, 9 years when you really start getting a lot of fruit for a typical fruit tree. It takes a while. And so you have to understand that. You get satisfied later. They shall be satisfied. Tell the righteous here. It says, say to the righteous, it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doing. So it's later on. But woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with them, for the reward of his hands shall be given him. It's fruit, if you're going to learn the lesson of fruit, fruit comes out later. So you do not go and get impatient, and you do not say, you know what? Here's the thing. Key to understanding this is we're understanding all these truths of fruit. Here is someone, they do the actions here, and let's say they do bad actions, they don't know any better, they make bad decisions, they do wrong. And here goes along, and here goes 6, 8 months, a year. They come along, and all of a sudden they decide, you know what, I've been living wrong, I've been doing wrong things, I'm going to stop doing wrong, I'm going to start doing right. And they start doing right here, and come 3 weeks later, a month later, they say, you know what, I'm doing right, and bad things are happening. Nothing, I mean, things are going bad still. I thought God forgave me. God did forgive you. But you're growing the fruit of that. You're eating last year's crop. You don't do right. It's not like, you know, Lord, give me this day my daily bread. Oh, don't make a drop in my head. It's not instantaneous. You did wrong things. And you're reaping for them. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You're going to eat, you planted jalapenos and zucchini, you're going to eat jalapenos and zucchini. But I told God, I'm sorry, it was stupid, I shouldn't have been so lazy. Okay, God's forgiven you. Now, go start figuring out 85 ways to cook zucchini. Because that's what you're going to eat now. And guess what? Here's a good thing. The Bible says the one who lives wise, his expectation is always good. And start looking forward to what crop you're going to get next year. Because you started planting corn and beans and peas and all kinds of good things. And you're going to get a good crop. But you know what? You've got to eat for now. You got to take your comeuppance. You got to eat what you planted. Don't expect instantly. And so somebody gets discouraged because they're reaping bad things. And bad things are happening. Yeah, the Bible says that. Whatsoever man soweth, you're going to reap it. So don't get impatient. Be not weary in well-doing. You keep doing right. Good crops are coming. God's blessing is coming. But you have to understand, it's always spoken of the good things and the bad things of fruit. It's spoken of as a crop, and crops don't, you do not put a seed in the ground and go, whoa, the seed almost hit my hand. Little sprout almost hit my hand. Oh, good. You know what, kids? We're going to have corn tonight. Let's go plant some seeds. You don't do that. And so if you didn't weed your garden, and you go out there and say, why does my garden have weeds? Because you didn't weed it. I mean, it's pretty logical. Understand there's fruit and consequences. And so remember, what you're living right now is reaping what you did before. You follow that? Whether you like it or love it, hate it, doesn't matter. Right now, you're living the crops you planted. Now, every crop's different. Some of you, let's say somebody goes out and they get some girl pregnant out of wedlock and hates the girl, doesn't like the girl, and then they got a baby. And you know what? They're still reaping that crop 18 years later when they're paying child support. Okay? They're going to reap that for a long time. Other things, you do something dumb. Yeah, you suffer for it, and it's not 18 years later. It's not a year later. But so you start planting a bunch of good crops because you want the fruit of the righteous. And you start planting spiritual crops, walking in the Spirit, because you're later going to bring forth fruit. See, fruit is automatic. Don't force fruit in your life. Abide in the vine. Stay in Christ, and the fruit comes automatically. I'm going to make myself love them. Good luck on that one. You can't make yourself love. You can't work up joy. You can try to psych yourself out. I'm gonna be happy no matter what. That'll last till the next bad things happen. The next person cuts you off in traffic. Or the next person cuts in front of you in line. Or the next person that checks stand says, you know, we need to do a price check on this. And you'll find out if you have joy. So these are a forced thing. It's a natural fruit because you're a fruit tree. And you're plugged into the right vine. And so fruit tells these things. Decide what fruit you want later and do the actions now that produce that particular fruit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk with God. So you can look forward and say, I can't wait. Boy, I haven't got it yet, but I can't wait till I start reaping. And don't be jealous of someone who's reaping good fruit, who's way ahead of you, and get discouraged. They might have been planting good crops for the last 20 years. They're going to have a whole bunch of good fruit. And you're saying, I'm 2 years into this thing, and I'm not seeing that much fruit. I mean, there's a few things, but man, I want my whole life to be like that. Well, plant for a while. See, fruit comes out later. And right now, if you're living, it, just understand, I don't like what's happening to me right now. I'm trying to do right, but bad things are happening. That's right. Plant a crop so you're not going to say that later. You say, I just give up. Then guess what you're going to reap? You're not going to like your crop next year either. And so we see all these principles here. And so we got to do that. And we want to be very careful. Do not decide what you like planting, but decide what you like eating later. It's so easy not to plant a crop and lay around. I know. But dandelions, there's a few uses for them to eat, but it's not a good dinner. That's what's going to grow, not what you want. Generally, you ever notice the things that are bad grow really good and really easy? You ever notice how easy it is for dandelions and weeds and stuff to get in your garden? Why, you go plant the seeds for the things you want to grow, and you fight and claw to try to get them to come, and the things just fly in there and dig under your seeds, dig into your garden that you don't want. Why? The flesh is naturally bad. You got to choose to plant good crops and work hard. And so make sure you're patiently doing right and understand you cannot give up. Be not weary in well-doing. Context, planting. Fruit, reaping in due season. Got a whole bunch of things there. Fruit's very important in the Bible. Understand these principles, you'll understand a lot about how God works with us. All right. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, I pray you to help us to live by these principles. Help us understand them. Help us not to be weary in well-doing. Help us understand that this is important concepts about fruit. Boy, how many times did Jesus liken the spiritual life to fruit and planting and vines and boy, when a tree doesn't produce good fruit, you get angry with it. Help us to realize that we've got to plant the right crops to get the right kind of fruit. It's normally, if we don't plant anything, it's bad crops. Help us, Lord, to be careful in these things and help us to be wise in these things. Help us to sow spiritual seeds, walk in the Spirit, and help us to reap a good crop later. Please give us wisdom in these things and help us to do so in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.